you that the love of Jesus is deeper than we could possibly imagine, that we can always depend upon your love, that when man fails us, when the world fails us, when we fail ourselves, we can rest and trust in the fact that you will never fail us. Father, thank you for such love, such mercy, Lord, that we are on your mind, that when you were on the cross, we were on your mind, that we were on your heart, that we are in your heart, that you loved us so much that you sent your Son to die in our place. Father, help us to understand the import of that and then to make sure that we teach that same truth to our children. Open our hearts and our minds, Lord, to your word this morning. Guide us by your Spirit. We continue to ask that the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts together, might be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen. We are talking this morning about children diligently taught, and you might say, well, that's good, but why is that important? Well, we're going to see in just a moment why that is so important. Why do we dedicate children? Why do we have children's ministry? Why do we have youth ministry? Why does the church do that? Well, we're going to answer those questions and more, I hope, as we go along this morning. First of all, the first passage of Scripture comes from Deuteronomy chapter 6. I know you have heard me read these before, but I will do so again, starting in verse number 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And these words, which I command you today, shall be in your heart. And now look, you shall teach them. This is not a suggestion. This is not a good idea. This is a directive. This is a commandment from God. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. Again, this is not merely a suggestion. This is not merely a good idea. This is a directive from God that parents, you shall teach your children. Now, why is that important? Well, as you look in the history of the Israelites, after the Exodus, after Moses died, who became the leader? Joshua, right? Well, Joshua led the Israelites into the promised land. But after Joshua died, if you know your scripture, what period occurred after Joshua's death? The period of the judges. And if you look in those scriptures, you will see that it says that when Joshua died, and then the men who were ruling Israel that knew Joshua died, it said, then a generation came up that did not know God. And then you start the period of the judges, the cycles where Israel rebelled against God, went off and did their own thing. God sent judgment. They cried out to God for mercy. He raised up a judge. He delivered them from their tormentors. And then they revived and followed God for a short period of time, and then somebody else arose that forgot God again, and the cycle repeated over and over again 7 times. At the end of Judges, Scripture tells us that there was no king in Israel, and everybody did what was right in his own sight. Well, that might sound like, oh, that's not a bad idea. Well, yeah, it is a very bad idea to do what feels good. Let me ask you, have you ever had an instance in your life where you did something that felt good and about 2 seconds later you wished you hadn't? Doing something that feels good will get you in trouble. Sometimes a little trouble, sometimes a lot of trouble. You're going down the highway You feel like you need to go 90 miles an hour until you meet a little blue and gray car or a big SUV now, and they don't like you going 90 miles an hour. Our feelings get us in trouble. Very often they can do that. Why is it important to teach the younger generation about God? If you don't hear anything else today, hear this. Because I promise you, Satan will make sure that they know about Him. Make no mistake. You cannot insulate your child from Satan. No way. I have seen parents try to do that. Seriously. Tried to insulate them from anything in the world. You cannot do it. If you do not teach them about Jesus Christ, Satan will make sure they know about Him. Now you might say, well, the church is going to do that. Well, we'll do the best we can, but ultimately the responsibility for training these children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, it is on us, Mom and Dad. And Dad, God's going to look to you first, because we're responsible to God for their spiritual upbringing. Let's keep going. Mark chapter 10, verses 13 through 16. Then they brought children, little children, Scripture says, to Him. The Him is Jesus, that He might touch them. But the disciples rebuked them. Why did the disciples rebuke them? Because they're thinking. Jesus is too busy. Didn't they? They thought that. Jesus is too busy. He's too important. He does not need to be bothered with these little kids. That's what he said. Hey, buddy. That's what he said. Or that's what they said. But look what Jesus said. But when Jesus saw it, He was not just a little bit. He was greatly displeased and said to them, "Let the little children come to Me and do not forbid them. For of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." And He took them up in His arms, laid His hands on them, and blessed them. Let's keep going. So then, if Scripture is talking that much about children, we need to understand some things. First and foremost is that children are valued by God. Now, children are oftentimes in our culture property that's disposable. I hate to say it that way, but that's about the way it is. They are okay under certain situations, but a pain otherwise, and it's okay to dispose of them. You don't think that's what they think? Yeah, that's what they think. The laws in most places make it okay to abort a child up to and including the moment of birth. But that's not God's standard. Jesus said, do not hinder them. Don't stop them. You know, I've had parents before tell me that their small children wanted to talk to me and about Jesus. And the parents, and I understand their concern, they would have a concern that maybe my child is too young. But this is my counsel. If a child comes to me at whatever age and asks me about Jesus and tells me they want Jesus to be their Lord and Savior, this man is not going to stand in their way of getting baptized. Not at all. Do not hinder them from coming to Jesus. I'm going to tell you what, I would not want to have to stand before God and answer why I hindered some small child from coming to Jesus. Children are a blessing from God. No doubt about it. Psalm 127, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. They are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate. Children, Scripture says, are a blessing from the Lord. Not a drudgery. Now, yes, I know sometimes those little angels sometimes act like they're demons. I understand that. I know that. But still, they are a blessing from the Lord. Because I remember I was not always a little angel. Were you? No. So, children are valued by God. And He says so in His Word. He demonstrated that by His own actions. Jesus Christ, God incarnate, limited Himself by taking on a human body to be in space and time, one place at one time. There were a lot of things that Jesus could have been doing, but He stopped, and we don't know how many children there were, but gauging by the number of people that followed Jesus around, there were a lot of little kids. But He took time to pick them up and to bless them. Let's keep going. Jesus likens childlike faith to what is required to enter heaven. Now, what does that mean? That means that children don't understand the details, do they? They don't know everything, but they trust when you tell them that it's so, that it is so. You know, we've talked about this before. That they don't understand exactly why something is the so, but if mom and dad tells them that, they believe them. How many times did you tell your child, because I said so? I said I would never do that. I broke that rule pretty quick. And it's because the children don't understand. They can't understand. They're not old enough to understand. But they trust. I mean, I like it. But they trust that what you tell them is true. We don't understand everything God says. We don't understand why God does everything God does, but we understand enough to know that we can trust God. The childlike faith means simple trust. Trust in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Trust in Jesus Christ as the author of my faith. Trust in Jesus Christ as my Lord. Trust in His Word to be my guide. I don't have to understand all of it. I simply have to trust. We do it every day. We make simple trust decisions every day. You don't know why an airplane flies like it does, but you board the airplane and you trust the pilot knows what he's doing. You get on the road and you trust that everybody's going to stay on their right side of the road. Children are valued by God. And He warns, strictly warns us of despising children. Take heed, in Matthew 18, take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I say to you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father. Don't despise them. Don't despise them. They are a gift from the Lord. They are valued by God. Jesus Christ gave His life for them, just like He did for you and for me. Let me throw a statistic out for you. I'm not a big statistician, but this is one that probably bears acknowledgement. 75% in America, 75% of the people who will make a decision to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior will have done so by the age of 18. What does that mean? That means if you go to a high school graduation and you watch those students cross the podium and get their diploma, 75% of the ones doing that have already made the spiritual decision that they will live with for all of eternity. Because most of the people who are saved before the age of 18. It is critical, it is imperative that we reach children. It is imperative that we reach young people. Because statistically speaking, by the time they are adults, it is too late. Now that does not say they can't be saved, because yes, they are. We all know individuals who were saved in their senior ages, perhaps. But that is an exception. That is not the norm. We need to make sure that we value, that we invest, that we teach these youngsters. The child, these small children, these that were up here this morning, are the future of the church. Amen? They are the future of the church. What's the church going to look like in 25 years? How many of us will be around in 25 years? But these will be the ones that will be making the decisions in the church, that will be the active church serving. These are the ones. If they're not here, the church won't be here either. Today's child is tomorrow's church leader, or else there won't be one. Because we're not going to be here 50 years from now. If the church is to survive into the future, if this nation is going to be influenced by the church, then we must teach Jesus to the children. The culture is not going to do it. School is not going to do it. Government is not going to do it. Mom and Dad, it's your job to do it, but sometimes that don't happen. The church, you've got to do it. If the church is going to survive, we've got to teach Jesus to the children. That's why Vacation Bible School that Jennifer mentioned is so critical. Some of these children that are in this Vacation Bible School only are in church 1 week out of the year. They're 52 weeks in the year. 51 weeks the world has them. 1 week. 1 week the church has them. Got to reach them. The church is only one generation away at any time from disappearing. You realize that? One generation away. That's exactly what happened in Judges. Joshua died. The elders that knew Joshua died. And for some reason, somehow, some way, for some unknown reason, they didn't pass what they knew about God to their children. Their children grew up and they didn't know, thus saith the Lord. And they went out and did whatever they felt like doing. And what was the result? Judgment on the nation. Then they cried out for mercy. God sends a judge, raises them up, he gives them God's word, they repent, God delivers them, but they still didn't pass it on. And so it goes through a vicious cycle again. What's wrong with our nation today is that's not happening. Jesus Christ is not getting passed down to the children. And oftentimes it's because Jesus is not known by the parents. They can't teach what they don't know. Someone said the other day, I laughed at it, but they're exactly right. They said, if you tell children they come from monkeys, don't be surprised if they act like it. So why should you be surprised? If you tell them that's what they came from and they act like it, they're just acting like what you said. Only one generation away at any time from being gone. We have to teach them about Jesus. How are we going to do that if we don't know Jesus? We've got to know Jesus personally if we're going to teach them Jesus. I know you've all seen scenes at a pool where the parent, dad usually is in the pool trying to get the little kid to jump on in the pool, wants to teach him to swim, and the little kid's scared to get in the water. Maybe he's got a little swimmies on or whatever, you know. And finally, the dad, you know, will get up a little bit closer and he'll coax him, come on. And the kid has a choice. He's got to make a choice. Either the kid trusts dad and jumps on in, or the kid lets the fear of the water override and they don't jump in. But let me tell you, let me suggest, if they trust their dad enough, they'll jump in, no matter how scared they are of the water. Dad, mom, do you love Jesus enough that that child will be willing to jump in because they see that love demonstrated in your life? Not just in your words, but in your life. Let me give you a cautionary note here. I knew a young man whose father never hardly ever came to church. Now, his mom did. But his father would send the kids to church with mom, but dad never came. When that young man turned 18 years old, boom, he was out of church and he was wild as he could be. And dad come in to the church one day all mad and upset. I was the minister to students. He wanted to talk to me and to the senior pastor. He was mad. He said, you know, my son's been coming to church and now all of a sudden he's going off and doing all this stuff. What's wrong? I was going to be a little bit tactful, I guess, but the senior pastor wasn't tactful. He said, you are the problem. And the man was like, you hit him with a wet dish rag. And he said, what do you mean? He said, you are the boy's problem. He said, how do you think all these years you sent your son to church, but you go out and play golf or whatever it was he was doing? He said, and now you think he's going to get grown and not do the same thing? He said, you're the problem. Of course, he got mad and walked out, but the pastor was exactly right. The young man was doing what he had seen dad do, not what dad said, but what he saw dad do. Thirdly, we are responsible. You cannot abdicate this authority, this responsibility. You cannot give it to somebody else. Parents are primarily charged by God. I just read it from Deuteronomy chapter 6. Parents, you can't duck out. It is our job to teach diligently these children about Jesus Christ. And he said, do it diligently. What does that mean? That means in everything you do, everywhere, all the time. Not just on Sundays, not just once a year at VBS, not just occasionally, but every day, all day, for as long as you live, teach Jesus. And again, you can't teach what you do not know. You've got to have Jesus and be living with Jesus and being active in pursuing Jesus if you're going to teach it. Parents are responsible for teaching their children Jesus. Now the church, yes, we have a role. We are to come alongside parents to reinforce that teaching, to pray for them, to be a safety net, if you will, for them. But we can't take the primary responsibility because it's not ours. We don't have the children. But how often? Maybe Sunday morning. Maybe Wednesday evening. Maybe 2-3 hours a week. Maybe. How many hours do parents have them? A whole lot more than that. A whole lot more. But the church must do this, though. The church must focus on ministry to children and youth. Now, why do I stress that so much? Because there are churches that do ministry to youth and children as an afterthought. As an afterthought. In my opinion, and based on the Word of God, that needs to be a primary focus. Primary focus. Got to reach them. Got to reach them. Not a secondary focus, but a primary. Not the only one. Not the only primary focus, but a primary focus. To reach these children, to teach them about Jesus. Do not yield the future to the culture. It is easy to do that. You can just sit back and let somebody else worry about it. Don't do that. Do not sit back. Do not let the television teach your children. Do not let the culture teach your children. Do not let the school teach your children. You teach your children. Be involved in everything they're doing, everywhere they're going. You guys were growing up, did your parents get in your business? All the time, didn't they? They want to know who you're going to be with, where you're going to be, what time you're coming home, and you better be home on time. Now, this is back before the days of cell phones, you know. When the street lights went out, when the street lights came on, you better be home. Now, my mom was a stay-at-home mom. So generally, we were at home and everybody else was at our house. But if we were going to go, my best friend lived across town, Dr. Golden's youngest boy, and sometimes I want to go over there, and mom would be like, first of all, it's got to be okay with Miss Golden, and then secondly, what time? What time are you going to be there? What time are you getting back? And you better be. You better be there. Don't yield the future of your children to the culture. People would not dare let their children talk to a stranger they didn't know. But sometimes these same people will let them get on the internet unsupervised. Now, kids are probably going to get mad with me about this, but I don't care. Don't let them be on there unsupervised. Don't let them, because you don't know who they're talking to. And just because they say they're so-and-so down the road don't mean they are. Unfortunately, in this day and time, you can't trust. You can't trust it. I saw was it Thursday or Friday, a young, when I say young, she was a teenage, an older teenage girl, was rescued from potential child slavery, in Huntsville. We get the idea this kind of stuff happens somewhere else. But the article said that one of the people working at the airline just thought something didn't look right about the way the little girl was acting. And she got a police officer involved. And it turned out the girl was saying, well, she had been talking to some people in Phoenix, Arizona. And they were going to get her a modeling career in Hollywood. And they sent her a ticket, a one-way ticket, to Phoenix, Arizona. And they were going to meet her at the airport and get her involved in a modeling career. No, they wasn't what they were going to do. They were going to get her involved in probably slave trade. Because when the law enforcement started investigating, whoever was supposed to meet her on the airport didn't show up in Phoenix. So somebody in Phoenix got her a ticket back to Alabama. Satan was going to be waiting in Phoenix, is what was going to be. Do not become weary in well-doing. It's tiresome sometimes. I understand it is. But Scripture says, don't give up. Don't become weary. Because if you continue keeping on, you will reap the benefits. Sometimes you might think, this child is going to be the death of me. But you keep on. You keep on. You pray for them. You be an example for them. You correct where necessary. You teach them about Jesus. And that's what you have to do. You leave the rest to Jesus. Don't become weary in well-doing. Don't faint. Don't give up. That's right. Here is your compass point. Jesus does indeed love the little children. It's our job as the church and your job as parents to make sure that they know that. Diligently teach your children what you already have if you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. If you don't have that, you can't teach it. But you can get that today, and you can start teaching it today. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the altar will be open up here in just a moment. You can come up here and you can pray and ask Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins, to be your Lord and Savior, and then to help you teach your children or your grandchildren or your nieces or your nephews or some kid around the block about Jesus. You know, when I was growing up at Salem Baptist Church in Brundage, there was an elderly lady, Miss Fox French. She must have been 90 years old when I first met her. I don't know. Her hair never turned gray. I didn't know about women coloring their hair back then, but it was always red. When she was 100 years old, it was red. But she played the organ. And like I said, she must have been 90. Now, she probably wasn't, but I thought she was 90 years old when I first met her. She had two ministries at that church. One was playing the organ. Every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, Miss French was playing the organ. Her second ministry was the preschool Sunday school. Now, I'm telling you, this was a 90-year-old woman. Or at least I thought she was. But there must have been two dozen little kids running around in there. Now, I love children, but bless y'all that do children's church, because I don't know. You know, when you get that many little kids together, they can be a handful. But Miss French, now she had help. Yes, she had help. But she loved those children, and she diligently taught those children about Jesus for years. For years. When she died, you know, she did that until she could not physically get around anymore. Because she loved them, and because she loved her Lord. Teach our children that Jesus loves them. Father, thank you for your love and your blessings. Thank you for the great gift you give us in children, for the responsibility you give us to train them up in your nurture and admonition. And Father, knowing that we don't have to do it in our own power or by ourselves, if we know you as our Lord and Savior, you give us of your Spirit to help train them up. You give us of your Word to guide and direct. So Father, help us to do that. Help us to not shirk that responsibility. Help us not to grow weary in well-doing. Lord, if there's anybody here today that does not know you as Lord and Savior, I pray that they will not leave this building until they ask you to forgive them of their sins and to save their soul. Then, Father, help us as parents, as grandparents, as aunts and uncles, or just as an adult who children look up to, help us to have a burden to teach these youngsters about Jesus Christ. Lord, our nation depends upon it. Your church depends upon it. And they depend upon us for their eternity. Lord, this is your time. We are your people. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.